much, and okay, so is she able to talk to us, ma'am, because we don't know at this moment, and we can't see her, so will she be able to communicate with us okay?
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and can she hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, Ms. Ortiz, would you state your name and ADC number for the record?
Maria Ortiz. My ADC number is 264022.
Thank you, Ms. Ortiz. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and according to information we have, this is a phase two hearing because you have applied under the statutes of the imminent danger of death, and therefore it was not necessary to go through phase one. On ordinary circumstances, we would have gone through phase one, and then we would have moved you to phase two, but you have bypassed phase one, and we will go to phase two. The board will make a determination based upon information that it receives today whether to make a recommendation to the governor. The board cannot commute your sentence. It will be commuted by the governor if the board sees fit to make that recommendation, and if the governor sees fit to accept that recommendation from the board. Therefore, this is one of the steps that we will go through at this particular time. Let me just make just a couple of comments before we move further, and then we also would like to try to get your doctor involved in the conversation as well. Now, although this is a phase two hearing, I would just want to go on record and indicate that we do have the statement from the Arizona Department of Corrections, the sentence time computation information. I just want to go through that very briefly. You're currently serving a sentence for unlawful use of means of transportation, and on that sentence you receive 1 year, and you're requested on ordinary circumstances. I know that this is different because this is imminent danger of death. You will be requesting time served, and the CSBD date would be February 24th, 2019. The CSED date would be September 24th, 2019. And the ERC date would be May 12, 2019. And if your request is granted today, and the recommendation would be to go to the governor if the board sees fit, and that would be for time served. I would also point out the fact that you have two other sentences, and they are for dangerous drug violation, and dates are exactly the same because they are running concurrent, and as a result of that, I will not go with those dates again because they would, since this is an imminent danger of death. Well, first of all, Ms. Ortiz, how are you doing today? Let me just ask that. How are you feeling today?
All right. I think that makes sense.
Okay. And have you been able to move around? Or I know that they told us when we called a few months ago that they had to get you out of bed, but are you able to move around, ma'am, at all?
Well, right now, I can.
Okay, so right now you cannot. Okay. Just relax. Don't get excited. We don't want to get you excited, but we will be trying to ask you some questions. But let me do one other thing and then come back to you. Let me see if I can get your doctor on the phone and see if he can see if he's available to talk with us at this time. So, and then if he is, then we will come back to you, and then we'll go through the process so the board can make an informed decision. So please just hold on, ma'am.
Hello.
Yes, Dr. Abraham, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and it's our understanding that you are the site medical director for Perryville, and that we are speaking with one of your patients today, and that is Ms. Ortiz, and we do have a report that you have submitted to the Board of Executive Clemency, but the board members want to just have this opportunity to speak with you just briefly this morning, sir, because we know how busy your schedule is. And let me say this to you, doctor, as well as to Ms. Ortiz, which I did not say up front. There are four board members participating in this hearing today, and they are the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, and my name is C.T. Wright, our board chair and panel chair today. And we will be making a determination at the end of this hearing whether to make a recommendation to the governor for an imminent danger of death, or whether or if we would not, because the governor will make that determination at the end of the day. We will not make that determination. We will only make a recommendation. Now, I do take note, doctor, that you have, well, could you very briefly, just for the record, state your name just for the record, sir? Yes, sir. And what's your position, sir?
I'm the site medical director here at the Arizona State Shooting Complex in Perryville.
Okay, sir. And I know that you have had the opportunity to see Ms. Ortiz, so could you give us a brief summary of what her condition or physical conditions are at this particular time, sir?
She was diagnosed with stage 4 cervical carcinoma, which means that the cancer that she had was far beyond the original site. It is spread throughout the lymph pelvis into the abdomen. Currently, she is extremely weak. She is wasting, and she can really see within the temporal areas of the head that is sitting by weight loss. She has had the comorbid conditions that occur with the cancer diagnosis, which currently include a deep venous thrombosis, which is very large and expensive. And because of the state of the cancer beyond the side of the pelvis, she now has some abdominal ascites, which is fluid collection within the abdomen. Most likely, this is what we refer to in America as a transvaginal fusion due to the malignancy, which means it's not going anywhere, it's always going to be there. And most likely, it will worsen over time. And I could be managed only through treatment with diuretics, but that's not going to cure. Her gynecologic oncologist, Dr. Ivor Benjamin, who also, by the way, is the head of the family department and puts aside some time to speak with the board.
Okay.
Nevertheless, through discussion with 51, a condition is stage 4 that is incurable.
Okay, sir. Well, let me just say this. None of the board members are medical professionals. Therefore, we will speak to you more or less as citizens of the state of Arizona in terms of trying to make our determination. Now, what's the possibility of her receiving treatment to, what I'm asking, I may not state it the correct way, but to reverse this cancer that she has? I know it's stage 4. Is there a possibility at all that it can be reversed, or is it too late, sir?
There is no possibility that this will be reversed. There is no cure for stage 4 cancer. She has undergone several rounds of chemo and radiation that has failed to progress the cancer. It's spread to stage 4.
Is she on any type of medication at this point, or is she...
Not for cancer therapy, no.
Okay, sir. And I do take note that you pointed out the fact that, these are my words, not yours now, that no one can be sure, you know, when death will occur, but you did check the box saying that her life expectancy is 4 months or less. Do you still, is that still your opinion, sir? I know that's an opinion because none of us know for sure when anybody will decease, expire.
That is correct, and my opinion has not changed.
Okay, sir. And so how is she, I mean, you know, just for a non-medical person, How is she doing? Is she able to eat? Is she able to sit up? How is she doing, sir? Just for
She cannot sit up without assistance. She can eat. Usually, though, when I see her in her room, the tray is at least still half full. She's eating a little bit as much as she can. Difficult also when you have an abdominal cavity full of fluid, because that fluid is going to compress all your organs as well, so you're just not going to be able to expand that much. So you're limited also in what you can take in as well.
Okay, so let me just ask one other question. This one you may not be able to answer, but the only reason I'm asking you this one is because we do not have any of her family members present today, and we don't have any on the phone, and I don't know whether they are anywhere she is at this particular moment or not. As far as we know, there are none. If this board saw fit to make a recommendation to the governor and the governor accepted this recommendation, what type of services would she need to be transferred from the facility where she is now to another facility? And I ask that because based upon information that's been presented to this board, as I said, you may not be able to comment on this, but she would be interested in going to California. And so would she be strong enough to take a trip to California, or do you have an opinion on that at all? We have no opinion on that at all. I just happen to look at her record, and that's her. That's what she showed in her.
It would be questionable if she could sit in a passenger seat of a vehicle for you.
Okay.
Perhaps she might be able to do it in a recumbent position.
Okay, sir.
Whether the appropriate transportation that most likely will need to have some stops. Her medications will need to be on board, including her medication to prevent any further deep venous thrombosis. And she would need to go with assistance of probably more than one person.
And one of the things, I mean, and I'm just going to make this comment, then I'll go to other board members, that, you know, that I'm concerned about is the fact that we don't have any family members present to participate, and I don't believe, and board members can correct me, I don't believe that we have a statement from family members in California or here in Arizona how they might be able to assist her if she were if the governor saw fit to permit her to commute her sentence. And that is a concern, because we want to make sure that if we make a recommendation that she would be treated in a humane way, and we just don't have that information to the best of my knowledge. But at this time, because I know you're busy, doctor, I'm going to see if my other board members might have any questions for you. Distinguished board members, questions for the doctor? We don't have any questions by other board members. Now, doctor, you stated, I believe, if I heard you correct, that there was another doctor that we were supposed to call. Did I hear you correct on that one, sir?
Yes, I did submit his name to the board. He is Dr. Ivor Benjamin.
Okay.
He is Ms. Ortiz's primary cancer doctor as far as he administered treatment. And his office was aware of the clemency hearing today, and he did make himself available to speak to the board.
Sir, do you have a phone number for him? I don't see it.
I can. If you wouldn't mind holding on for a second, I'm happy to give the phone number.
We would be. Yes, sir. We can hold on, sir.
All right.
Hang on. Do any board members have that number?
No, I didn't.
I don't have it.
No, there's very little medical information in this package.
It's like one page.
Yes. So I was just making that review before we started.
Okay, so we have to write the letter again.
Okay, 480. 480. 370.
370.
5974.
And that is Dr. Benjamin. Am I correct, sir?
That is correct.
Okay, sir. Now, I know that you have a busy schedule. You're welcome to stay on the phone if you so desire. Otherwise, if you have other commitments, we do understand, sir.
Well, that's okay. and I am advocating for the OST, so I'll be happy to stay on the call.
Well, thank you so very much, sir. And now we're going to see if we can get to Dr. Benjamin, and I'm going to see if my distinguished colleague who just walked in the room might be able to. We have one call already there, and this is the one that we're trying to get now. With Dr. Benjamin, please.
Yes, speaking.
Yes, this is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and it's our understanding that you are primary doctor, counsel doctor for Ms. Ortiz. And could we get you to hold on just one moment, sir, to see if we can get her back on the line? Sometimes this technology don't work for us.
No problem.
Yes, sir. Okay, Ms. Ortiz, are you back?
Yes.
Okay, and Dr. Benjamin, are you on, sir?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay, well, thank you so very much, and we're just trying to get some general information on Ms. Ortiz, and we was wondering if what could you share with the board to enlighten the board. We do have four board members participating in this hearing, and I would also just point out the fact that we are not medical professionals. We are citizens appointed by the governor, and the board would make a recommendation to the governor if the board saw fit at the end of this hearing today. Just wanted to give you that information. But in terms of her medical condition, what would you want to share with the board as it relates to Ms. Ortiz, sir?
Well, unfortunately, Ms. Ortiz suffers from an advanced, incurable cervix cancer that arose in, her female reproductive organs in her cervix, and it has spread not just to the region in her pelvis, but it has also spread up to her chest area and almost all the way up to her neck. Unfortunately, when this cancer reaches this stage, which is stage four, it is incurable and unfortunately will result in her death at some point in the near future. When that time comes, I'm not the Lord, I don't know, but that is, I can tell you from the medical experience and our best knowledge, that would be unfortunately soon at hand, probably within a week to maybe a month or two.
Okay, sir. Well, one thing I did not do at the beginning, may I get you to state your name just for the record? We're recording this just for the record. If I can get you to state your name and your position, sir, your connection with Ms. Ortiz, sir.
Okay. My first name is Ivor, I-V like Victor, O-R, and my last name is Benjamin, B-E-N-J-A-M-I-N. I'm an M.D., and I have an Arizona license to practice medicine. And I am a board-certified gynecologic oncologist who specializes in the type of cancer that Ms. Ortiz has, and she has been under my care.
Yes, sir. And I would also just point out to you that we do have Dr. Abraham on the phone as well. Just want you to, we've already spoken with him. Just want to let you know that he is also on the phone at this particular moment. I'm just going to ask one other general question, and you, as I said to Dr. Abraham, you probably won't be able to answer this, but the board finds itself, as one board member, I can only speak as one board member because we're independent of each other. I find myself in somewhat of a dilemma at this point because the information that's been presented to the board that she wishes to relocate to California with her family, and one is what's the possibility of her being able, physically to go from Arizona to California, and secondly, we don't show anything to the best of my knowledge, and other board members might comment on this, they might see something that I have not observed. We don't have anything showing that she has an interest at all in remaining in the state of Arizona, and we're just concerned, I'm just concerned about, just from a human standpoint, that she would be treated with all due respect if the governor saw fit to commute her sentence. And I just wanted to point that out. I know you, you wouldn't be the expert on that, but unfortunately, to the best of my knowledge, we don't have any information from family members. We don't have any family members present. We don't have any on the telephone, and that is one of my concerns, sir. I just want to say that not only to you, but to Ms. Tease, who's on the phone, as well as to my distinguished board members who are in the room at this time. So would she go into hospital or something? What would you suggest to the doctor?
What I would suggest, whether she, first of all, to address your first question, I do feel she could travel safely to California if those were her wishes, and death is not imminent. Appropriate level of care would be for her to have hospice services, so I do not think she would need to engage necessarily another gynecologic oncologist like myself in California, but hospice services are readily available throughout the state of California, so I don't think that would be an issue, and I think she can safely travel.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, and I do take note in the information that's provided to the board by Dr. Robinson. He checked the box which says that her life expectancy would be for 4 months or less. Do you concur with that, sir? I know none of us know when death is going to take place, but just based upon your professional expertise, so you do concur with that, sir?
Yes, I do. I feel, unfortunately, her life expectancy is less than 4 months.
Okay, sir. I'm going to see if my other distinguished board members might have some questions for you, sir. The Honorable Mr. Kawanis has questions for you at this time, sir.
Yes, Dr. Benjamin?
Yes.
Just a couple questions. One is, I recognize that you're an oncologist. Do you work for a particular organization?
I am in private practice. I work for the Arizona Center for Cancer Care, of which I'm a partial owner.
But again, this is only because we have to write it for justification should we vote in that direction. The second question was, I think the other physician made reference to treatment that had been given to Ms. Ortiz up to this point. So what treatment did she receive leading up to this stage four?
Well, she had presented with severe vaginal bleeding. And she was hospitalized, and for control of that, she received various medications and also received radiation therapy, but radiation therapy was palliative intent, and that means it's radiation therapy just to control the symptom of bleeding, which can be immediately life-threatening, and it did control the bleeding, but it did and marginal effect on the cancer itself.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you so very much, Honorable Mr. Kawanis. Any further questions by board members for Dr. Benjamin or for Dr. Abraham? Now, both of you are welcome to stay on the phone because we're going to continue this hearing. We're going to be spending some time talking with Ms. Ortiz and anyone else that might be where she is at this particular moment, but doctors, whether you stay on the phone or not, I do want to, on behalf of the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, to thank both of you so very much for sharing this time with us this morning and sharing your expertise with the Board of Executive Clemency. Thank you so very, very much. And you can stay on or you can terminate the call whenever you, depending upon your busy schedules.
Okay, well, thank you for the opportunity, and I wish all the best to Ms. Ortiz in her health problem.
Okay, well, thank you so very much. Okay, Ms. Ortiz, we're back to you, ma'am. Are you still there, Ms. Ortiz?
Yes.
Okay, now, I'm going to, when we're dealing with sensitive situations, we still have to do some things that may not seem as sensitive as one would want them to be, but I also feel it's necessary because this is a phase two hearing, commutation hearing, to talk about why you ended up incarcerated and things of that nature. So I'm just going to make a very brief statement based on information that I have gleaned. And I would really go back to January 21st of this year when you were passenger in a vehicle that was stopped. I don't believe that you were driving at that particular time, but stopped on the sidewalk. And you, that is Ms. Ortiz, provided some incorrect information to law enforcement initially, and then finally she admitted who she was. Initially she gave a different name, but eventually she did tell them who she was. And it was determined at that point that she did have, that she had violated her probation, and that she also indicated to the officers, she admitted that she had a small baggie of dope in her bra, and that would have been methamphetamine. I would also just point out the fact that she was in possession of more drugs when the officers went to arrest her in El Mirage, and that would have been back on March the 31st of 2017. And with that one, she was charged with a misdemeanor on that one. And that she indicated to the officers that she was using methamphetamine for medical reasons, and that was the reason that she was using it. I know that the doctors have indicated that she was on medication, but she felt, according to information that I've gleaned, that she felt that it was necessary for her to use this. Also, as it relates to a criminal record, back in April 15, 2016, she and a youth were involved in stealing a vehicle. And she indicated that it was the youth, that it was not her, and but that was a pipe, plastic bags of methamphetamine was also found there. And she ended up with a plea agreement, and the presumptive sentence would have been 2.5 years, the minimum would have been 1.5 years, and the maximum would have been 3 years, and she ended up with a one-year sentence. Therefore, she could have gotten four more if the if that was not for this plea. Now, Ms. Ortiz, hopefully you were able to hear what I've just stated. Is there any corrections that you want to make to your record, to your criminal record that I've just stated, ma'am?
Yeah, I have to say.
Okay, is there anything that I said that was not true or that was not correct?
It's true.
Okay, and so how long had you been using methamphetamine, ma'am?
Well.
Ma'am, can you hear me okay?
Can you tell me well?
Okay, and forgive me for asking these questions. Some questions we just feel obligated that we have to ask. When the last time did you use methamphetamine, ma'am?
When I got locked up, the 23rd.
23rd?
Yeah.
23rd of what, when, ma'am?
Of 2017.
Okay, so you've used it recently. Those, and I'm just going to ask this because I'm just not familiar with it at all. As you heard it when you was talking to the doctors, I'm not a medical professional and I don't understand medicine at all. But was this methamphetamine, was that helpful to you in terms of your situation, in terms of the cancer that you had and the illness that you had? Was it helpful? Did you feel that it was helping you or what?
Yeah, I was taking my pain away. I was doing no pain.
So it was helping you to get rid of your pain. So that's one reason that we use it. What about the medicine, the medication that your doctors were prescribing? That did not, that was not strong enough to get rid of the pain, ma'am?
I wasn't seeing a doctor at the time. I didn't have no access.
Oh, so you were not seeing the doctor at that time, okay. Let me go to other board members. I don't want to do all the talking today. I've been talking enough. So as I indicated that there are four other board members participating in your hearing, we have a fifth one, but he came in late. He will not be participating. But board members, any questions at this time for Ms. Ortiz? Yeah, the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Ms. Ortiz, can you hear me?
Yes, Yeah.
I couldn't hear the date you gave when you said the last time you used methamphetamine. When did you say the last time you used was?
March 23rd.
March 23rd?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been locked up since March 23rd.
Thank you, ma'am.
Of 2017.
And it's our understanding that your wishes are to, I guess, I don't know if it's to return to California. Are you a native of California?
Well, I want to go to my mom in Idaho.
In Idaho?
My mom's dad, yes.
Where is it that you would like to go should this board recommend to the governor's office to release you for imminent danger of death? Where is it that you wish to go?
I don't know where my mom's at. I have her address. You can give her address.
No, thank you, ma'am. Thank you. I have no further questions.
And if all the questions by board members at this time for Ms. Ortiz. So your mother lives in Idaho. Ma'am, when the last time you had contact with your mother, ma'am?
When she came to the prison to see me.
Well, when the last time, when did they come to prison to see you? When a month ago, or 2 months ago, a year ago? When was the last time?
A month ago?
Okay.
Yeah.
And so now, how long have you been in Arizona? You said that your family is, your mother rather, is up in Idaho. So how long have you been in the state of Arizona?
I've been here in Arizona. Those
like 12, 15
years.
Oh, so you are. Do you have any relatives living in the state of Arizona?
Yeah, I have a sister-in-law.
You have a sister-in-law, okay.
Yeah.
Any other relatives here in the state of Arizona?
My father-in-law. My father
was kidding,
but he didn't want to help me.
So
I don't know.
Okay. So he does not want to help you, okay. And this is just a question, and I'm not suggesting this by any means, but if the governor saw fit to commute your sentence and you were unable to go to Idaho and you had to remain in the state of Arizona, where would you stay in Arizona, ma'am?
I would have my mom send me money to rent me an apartment in Arizona.
Okay, so you would have your mom to rent an apartment for you in Arizona. If this board, because we don't have your mom on the phone or any of your relatives, if the governor saw fit to commute your sentence and you were able to work with the Department of Corrections to go to Idaho, this board could not make that decision. That would be something that you would have to work out with the Department of Correction to leave the state of Arizona. But if you were able to leave the state of Arizona, how do you think that you would get to Idaho? I mean, you know, that's a pretty long ways, and it's getting a little cold and a little snow up in that part of the country,
well,
just based on geography.
My mom gave me her address.
Okay. But I mean, would your mom come down here in a vehicle, a car, or something to pick you up, or would the state of Arizona have to get you up there? How would you get up there, ma'am?
She said she'd do anything to get you over there.
She would do everything to get you over there. Yes, ma'am. And so that's where we are at this time. Let me see if board members might have any questions about the offense itself, about a medical condition, or her future. Any questions that might help with the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis, sir?
Yes, sir, with all questions. Ms. Ortiz, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Why isn't your mother on the phone right now, or in on this discussion?
Can I get the paper with the number on it?
Was she supposed to be on this in this hearing, ma'am?
By the time that she is on the airport,
and by the time that
I found out, I was
inside
the
car.
And then
my
guy,
he
was
a
guy,
he
was
a
guy.
don't understand what she's saying.
Please speak up a little bit. I don't think that the Honorable Mr. Kawanis was able to hear what you were saying. Please, can you? I know you're ill, but can you speak up just a little bit?
I'm speaking up where I am.
Do you have a phone number for your mother?
Yes, I do. We're getting the phone number right now.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Okay, while they're getting the phone number, any further questions by board members at this time for Ms. Ortiz? Okay, well, we'll wait to get this phone number. If it's okay with board members, we'll just get the phone number, and so at least we could attempt to make that contact. I guess while we're waiting, the last discipline that I observed for Ms. Ortiz would have been back in May the 1st in 2012, and that was disobey of verbal, and that was informally resolved. She's received some counseling, but no schoolwork. I think she was trying to enroll in school since she's been in August of this year, but because of her illness, she was unable to enroll, and we still show maybe something that I did not see, but my information, and I'm looking at it again at this moment, still show that it's different than that, but on this inmate release plan that she was planning to go to California, not Idaho, but now it is Idaho rather than California is what she's telling us today, and so we will go on the basis of what she is sharing with us at this time. And ma'am, I also take note, Ms. Ortiz, and correct me if I misread something. You said that you want to spend time with your kids. How many kids do you have, ma'am?
I have 7 boys and 1 girl. 3 boys and 1 girl.
Three boys and 1 girl. And where are they located, ma'am?
7 boys and 1 girl.
Oh, 7 boys and 1 girl. Okay. And where are they located? Where do they live?
Glendale and some of them
are
in California.
And where? I just didn't understand you, ma'am.
Some of them are in Glendale and some of them are in California.
Oh, some are in Glendale and some are in California. Now, when we asked the question, when the Honorable Mr. Kawanis asked the question a few months ago about your where you were going, you did not indicate that in Arizona that your kids would be available to take care of you. Would they be available to assist you, your kids in California, your sons, in Arizona? Or would they, what type of relationship do you have with them, ma'am?
In Arizona, they wouldn't be able to take care of me because I lost them when I was small.
Oh, okay, so that would not work. Yes, ma'am, I do understand. And thank you so much for being, for your honesty on that, but, okay.
I have the phone number here.
Okay, may I go a little slow for a minute? Okay, I'm ready to listen.
Okay, we have 2 phone numbers. The first one is the cell phone number, and that is 203-443-8603.
And that's the cell number.
And the home number is 216-938-7904.
And that is the home number. And I'm going to ask my distinguished colleague, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, if he could get, I guess we'll try to say her number for her.
And her name is Maria.
Maria, and what's her last name? Okay. Yes, ma'am. So just hold on, Ms. Ortiz, and those of you on the phone, just hold on. We're going to see if we can get through.
Something.
Yes, ma'am. This is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Is this Maria?
Yes.
We are holding a commutation, basically, we call it a parole hearing for your daughter, and she gave us your cell number. We just had a few questions that we wanted to ask you. Are you available to talk with us at this time?
Yes.
And for the record, would you state, did we get her back on, Ms. Ortiz? Is she back on? Hold one second, just want to make sure. Ms. Ortiz, are you back on?
Is that what?
Ms. Ortiz, are you on the phone? Can you hear?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody,
yes.
Okay. Everybody's on the phone now. Okay, ma'am. We, as I stated, that, well, first of all, let me get you to state your full name. I'm speaking to your mother up in Idaho. But would you state your full name for the record, ma'am?
My full name is Maria Del Carmen Nunez.
Okay. And we're trying to, the board will try to make a determination whether to make a recommendation to the governor as it relates to your daughter. She's made a request for imminent danger of death that she would possibly, and I'm going to use the word possibly, demise in less than 4 months. And so we were just trying to see what you could share with us at this time. We know that you are out of state. But what could you share with us as it relates to your daughter at this time, ma'am?
I am going to send us this report. At this time, it's pretty good. As far as, you know, I didn't see her for like a couple of, well, a few years, and I was looking for her but didn't find her until her father called me and told me that she was incarcerated and in the situation that she had.
Now, she has indicated to the board that if this board saw fit and the state of Arizona saw fit, depending upon the governor, that she would be relocating with you in Idaho. You are in Idaho, am I correct, ma'am?
Ohio.
You're in Ohio. I thought she said Idaho. Oh, sorry. So now we're
in... No, it's in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, so now we're in... Okay, we just getting different information. So now we're in Cleveland, Ohio. Okay, so you're in Ohio. And so if she was released, would you... How would she get to Cleveland, Ohio? Or are you prepared to be responsible for her if she is released, ma'am?
Well, I would rather me pick her up from there instead of her being released. I would rather, you know, fly over there and, you know, bring her with me.
Okay. So you would have, forgive me for asking, but I just have to ask some questions because we do have to make a recommendation if we see fit. So you would have the resources, when I say the resources, the financial resources to fly out here and to fly her back to Ohio if the state of Arizona were to release her. Am I correct, ma'am?
Yes.
And you would be willing to do that. Oh, I know you said that, you know, that period of time that y'all had been out of contact with each other, but you would be willing to do that in her condition because, as you know, we have not seen her, but we have talked with her doctor just a few moments ago. She's quite ill, so you would be willing to take on that responsibility if that was necessary. Am I correct, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you indicated that you found out about her recently because of her father, who indicated to you that she was incarcerated. Now, where is her father, ma'am?
Can you repeat that?
Yes, where is her father located, ma'am?
Her what? Her father?
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Ortiz, where is her father located? Where is he at?
He's there, and he's like 4 hours away from her.
Okay.
Her biological father.
Okay, and that's in Arizona. Okay. Okay, ma'am, I'm going to see if other board members might have some questions for you at this time, ma'am.
Okay.
I don't see any questions coming from other board members. You're welcome to stay on the phone. We're going to continue with this hearing, and please feel free to stay on the phone, and the board will make its determination whether to make a recommendation to the governor or not very shortly. But before the board goes into discussion, Ms. Ortiz, this is your hearing. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board on your behalf, tell the board anything else you would like to tell the board so that the board can make an informed decision. Ms. Ortiz, anything else you want to tell the board at this time, ma'am?
No, not at this time.
Okay, well, thank you so very much. Now the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask you, or Mr. Ortiz, and everyone on the phone to remain quiet while the board is discussing this. This will be the first time that the board members will have had an opportunity to discuss this case, and based upon the open meeting laws in the state of Arizona, we will make we do this publicly, and we don't do anything, you know, behind closed doors. So at this time, the board is now going into a discussion, and is there a board member who wishes to lead off the discussion at this time?
No.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Kawanis is prepared to make a statement at this time.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Wright. I'll begin the discussion by stating that I think that we've gathered a sufficient amount of information from two separate medical professionals, one being the doctor assigned to the infirmary at Perryville, as well as an oncology doctor or an MD that specializes in oncology. And from my perspective, based on the guidelines of IDD, I would make a strong consideration for recommending her to the governor's office, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, sir. Any further discussion by board members? Yes, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
I agree with my colleague with just the smallest degree of concern about her safe travel to where she has to go pretty far away from here. If she's going to Ohio, and it would be an arduous trip for her, so that would be my only concern. But I would also consider recommending this.
Okay. Honorable Mr. Neal, anything you want to share with the board?
No, I don't have any further information.
Okay. Before I make a formal comment, and forgive me, Mr. Oliveri, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot, and you don't have to respond at all. Now, you heard what we've been discussing here, and based on your experience, and we won't hold you to anything that you might say to us, is it common for an inmate to, I know this is imminent danger of death, to be able to leave the state of Arizona because of this situation without an interstate compact, to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, if she gets released, will she have supervision, is the question?
Will she have supervision?
Or is this for her to have time served?
This would be time served if the governor saw fit. This would be time served.
And then she would have no supervision with community corrections?
That is my understanding, but I'm not going to say that's totally correct.
Okay, because if she does come out and she does have community supervision, she wants to go to another state, we can request for report instructions to the other state as an emergency situation based on the stage 4 cancer. The other state would have 2 days to respond, and then we can follow that with an interstate compact transfer request.
Okay, thank you so very much. Any further questions based on what Mr. Do I see your hand, sir?
Yes, I thought I was.
Sorry.
I didn't realize I was looking.
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
I just want to make sure for the sake of this dialogue, according to the request, it's CSBD time served. So I assume that means free and clear?
Free and clear, sir.
Thank you. I need that clarification. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing no further discussion. I really find myself in a dilemma on this one. One is the limited amount of paperwork that was presented to the board. Usually when we have imminent danger of death, we have a great deal of information presented to the board by medical professionals. This time we have less than a page that's been presented to the board, but that's neither here nor there, but I just wanted to go on record and say that. And I do understand, I have a better understanding, I think I have a better understanding, because this morning I've gone, in my mind, from sending her to California, sending her to Idaho, and now sending her to Ohio. So I just end up a little confused, but I think after this discussion, I think we're talking about Ohio if the governor, and remember, it's left up to the governor. We only will make a recommendation to the governor, and the governor will make that determination. We will not make that determination as a board, but we are free to make a recommendation to the governor, and I think in view of everything that's been said, and it is with some reservation on my part, because that is for humane reasons. I'm just want to make sure that she would be treated humane by getting on a plane, going from here to Ohio, and the family being in a position in Ohio to take care of her, to put her in hospice or whatever she needs, and that is a little concern of mine. But in view of everything else and listening to board members, I am going to move to recommend to the governor that she come and see for Ms. Ortiz, Ms. Maria Ortiz, ADC number 264062, and that is my motion to recommend to the governor.
Second.
Agreed. Motion by myself, seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by Mr. Kiwanis, and agreed by Mr. Neal. The board will make a recommendation to the governor. And I'm going to ask for volunteers again. Anybody want to volunteer to write a statement, or a couple of people want to volunteer to make a statement? Okay, you want to do it?
Yes, actually, why don't we do it again together, and just as long as we can have a little flexibility tomorrow, because it's probably going to take a little.
Okay.
We'll have to have it done by Thursday.
Yeah, because I know we're on a timeline.
Yeah, okay, so the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis and the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse will develop the statement for the board. Okay, now do you understand, Ms. Ortiz, what's going to happen now? What will happen, this board will, two of our board members will write a letter, draft a letter rather, to the governor that will be signed by, or four board members will be eligible to sign the letter, because we don't have to sign it, but since everybody voted in favor, the four board members would sign this letter. The recommendation would go to the governor, and the governor will make a determination whether to commute your sentence and give you an opportunity to go with your mother to Ohio, and whatever arrangements that you would want to make. Is the mother still on the phone at this time?
Yes, I am.
Okay, now, I would suggest, we don't know what the governor is going to do, but in case the governor decides to grant this request, and I'm just going to suggest this, you don't have to do it, I would suggest very strongly that you start working right away trying to come up with, you know, how you would get her to Ohio and how you would be responsible for her in Ohio, because that's one of our concerns, because she is, according to her doctor, she's quite ill, and more than likely she's going to expire within the next 4 months, and we just want to make sure that she is well taken care of from a humane standpoint. So you can start thinking about it. And, you know, getting your...
Well, I already have all the resources.
Oh.
You know, if I didn't wait till...
Okay. Well, we will leave it in your hands. We're going to leave it in the governor's hands. You will make the determination, and at the appropriate time, you will hear back from the governor's office whether our recommendation has been accepted or not. Thank all of you so very much for your participation. This is going to end this hearing, and thanks again. And I am going to hang up the phone at this time. The hearing is over. Thank you.
Thank you.